We'll read together from Psalm 106, verses 47 and 48. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Father in heaven, touch our minds and hearts again with your word, we pray this evening. Help us to remember for a foundation of something upon which we touched this morning. And then, Lord, as we look at the words from this psalm, strike our minds with the view of your grace and graciousness and the great work that you have done in redeeming our souls in Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to have a greater view of the strength of that statement that says, Save us, O Lord our God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We asked a question this morning as we began, and that was, when you think about the salvation that God has promised us in His Scriptures, you remember that Paul said, Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And the Scripture says that if we believe on His name, we shall be saved. And there is a promise that's given to us of a hope of a salvation. But the question that was raised this morning is, why did God save us? Is it just simply a religious thing that God did? Is it just simply something for our benefit that God, well, He created the world good and Satan messed it up and He owed us something for letting Satan mess it up and He fixed us a better place? No, that's not it at all. There's a reason given to us in these verses that He would save us for us to give thanks unto His holy name and to triumph in His praise. That in, as we give our praise and adoration to the Lord, that is part of our triumph over our circumstance, over Satan's temptations in the world, and it is that we keep Him foremost in our view. And that He saved us for that. And His work, if we look back at verses 1 through 5, but remember that He says there, He asked the question, who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? We looked at some of the things that are spoken of in those first four verses, but I want to ask you to turn your attention tonight with me now to verse 6. Because it's at this point, to me, as you read this psalm, it's at this point that the real depth of God's great work comes into play. God is the one to whom we cry, Oh, save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen. Deliver us. But that statement is given at the end of a section of verses that runs from verse 6 through verse 45. And again, we're not going to read all those verses. But the depth of that expression, save us, O Lord, our God, is magnified in light of the things that we're told about the ones making that statement. And I would say to you about those statements that apply very much to us today as well. Notice with me that this one who says, Save us, O Lord, our God, is the same one that makes the statement in verse 6, We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquities we have done wickedly. And notice, first of all, the writer of this psalm doesn't point back at his ancestors and blame them. They sinned. What he does recognize is that he, like they, have sinned. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. There's one passage in I was reading earlier this morning in the book of Matthew where Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. And he talked about the fact that they built the tombs and the monuments, as it were, to the prophets and pointed a finger at their fathers who killed the prophets. But what Jesus went on to say was that in their disobedience, they were equally participant in that disobedience. We have sinned. You see, this one who cried, "Oh Lord, save us," had to cry that plea in light of the fact that he was a sinner who needed saving. He was one who had done wickedly, wickedness in his life, in the same way as his fathers, in the same iniquities as his fathers. You know, time really doesn't change anything. We see more today on the news. We see more in terms of large volumes of people. And we think things have gotten worse. But I would say to you, brothers and sisters, today that we have sinned with our fathers. You know, you go back to Genesis chapter 5, and we're told in that passage, in the description of what went on, that every imagination of man was only evil continually. Every device that man came up with because of the sinfulness of nature was a corrupted device. Now, if that was true then, and we are with our fathers, then our devices have corruption within them. Even the best we can do, Isaiah said, "All my righteousness is as filthy rags. The best I might do has the stain of my sin." You see, brothers and sisters, that plea that God would save His people is not just a pointing at bad circumstance. It's not just a pointing at threatening nations. It's not just a pointing that somebody else has messed up. It's a prayer of confession and plea that we have sinned, and Lord, if there's to be any deliverance, it must be by Your grace that You would deliver us. And I'll tell you, folks, that it's not until we get that picture grasped in our head that we are the ones who have done wickedly, we are the ones who have committed iniquity, we are the ones who have sinned, that we stand realizing the need that we have of God's favor. That we come face to face that we have done things. Oh, well, God called us as His people. That's right. He did. And go on with me for a minute into verses 7 and 8 about the people of Israel who were the covenant people of God. They were the chosen people of God. They were the type of the people chosen in Jesus Christ from the foundation of the world. We are said to be, in the New Testament, the Israel of God. The chosen people. All right. Listen to what was said about those chosen people. Verse 7. Our fathers. We have sinned with our fathers. Okay? Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked God at the sea, even the Red Sea. Now, here's the chosen people who had been marked by the blood of the Passover lamb, delivered from the curse of death of the firstborn, marked safe. I see people today on Facebook with one of the little expressions that when there's a danger, a storm or a fire or a tragic event, there's a little thing on there that so-and-so is marked safe from this difficulty. Well, the blood of the Passover lamb is the literal marking. The blood of Jesus Christ is the ultimate marking that marks us safe from the judgment of death. And yet, our fathers understood not the Lord's wonders. You see, God had done 9, and then the one last marvelous plague. He had turned water into blood. It wasn't just that He turned water into blood. It was that He turned the water of the Nile River into blood. And you see, to us, that looks like water. Well, He turned water to blood. But the fact of the matter was, to those people, the Nile River was the source of life. The Nile River was their ultimate idol. The Nile River was what they looked up to. And the marvel was, He proved Himself to be greater than all the other idols of Egypt. He brought flies. He brought darkness. He brought hailstorms. He brought all sorts of disease. He wiped out the strength of the Egyptian nation. He brought the greatest government on earth at that time to its knees. Because that king had said, "Who is the Lord that I should listen to Him?" I'm afraid, brothers and sisters, that we may be about to see somewhat the same kind of circumstance. I don't know what it will entail. I don't know. But we have a nation today that said, or basically we have individuals in government positions who basically say the same things. Well, who is God that speaks this word that I should listen to Him? God broke Egypt. But the Israelites didn't understand the wonder that God broke Egypt but spared them. They were as guilty as anything the Egyptians had done. You remember Joshua said when he was an old man and about to die, in Joshua chapter 24, he said, "Choose who you'll serve. Whether you serve the gods that they served before the flood, or the gods that our fathers served in Egypt." You see, they were as guilty of idolatry in recognizing the gods of the Egyptians. They should have died the same way that the Egyptians died. And yet God, through the marking of a lamb who was slain for them, spared them from death. Their fathers understood not. They didn't grasp the marvel of the grace of God that said, "An innocent one died for me." And I'll tell you today, folks, one of the things that very often we take lightly, I'm afraid many of God's children take lightly, and a great many other people have no concept of, is that when John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," we don't understand the depth of the grace that God sent His only begotten Son into this world to die as the Passover Lamb that marked us in His blood and set us free. Our fathers understood not the wonders. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked Him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, He saved them for His name's sake, that He might make His mighty power to be known. You see, folks, here was a people who didn't remember, who didn't understand, who didn't appreciate, who didn't value, who got mad when he had brought them out of Egypt, and then they came to the Red Sea and they began to complain because God brought them there. God brought them out of the hand of Pharaoh, and yet they were just sure God was going to turn them back into the hand of Pharaoh again. Nevertheless, He saved them. Folks, you and I are so very much like Israel. We are the covenant people of God, chosen in the covenant of grace, but what was established before the foundation of the world between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's not an agreement between God and us. It was before you and I had anything to do with it. Now, who can utter the wondrous acts of God? How can you describe a grace that knew what our failings would be and yet chose us anyway? How do you describe the grace that knew how short we would come and yet He saved us anyway for His name's sake? Not for my sake, but that His mighty power could be made known. They believed His words. Verse 12 and 13. They believed His words. They sang His praise. They saw what happened in an immediate time. But they soon forgot His works. They waited not for His counsel. They went their own merry way. They forgot what God did. How often do we forget what God does and go off on our own way and fail to seek the counsel of the One whose wisdom planned our salvation? Verses 28 through 32. They joined themselves unto Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked Him to anger with their inventions, and the plague broke in upon them. This is when there were those in the wilderness who brought the women of a Canaanite nation who worshipped the idol Baal. They brought them into the camp of Israel and began to have relationships with them. Brought them into their tents. And Phinehas, the youngest son of Aaron at that time, came in with a javelin and went in and killed the ones who were involved to stop the plague of death that had already broke out in the camp. You see, they forgot. And they joined them. They gave themselves to the worship of idols. They gave themselves to the sacrifice, to death, to the ones to the idols who couldn't deliver themselves. They were just like the idols that that the Lord had broken in Egypt and proven. They built a calf. They angered Him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked His spirit, so that Moses unadvisedly spoke with his lips. They did numerous things
And we could go on and on and on about what happened with that 40-year period of time. But then we come to verse 45. And I'll begin reading with verse 43. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel, and they were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and he remembered for them his covenant. That was the covenant made with Abraham, that God would raise up a seed unto Abraham that would be more numerous than the stars of the heaven and the sands of the seashore. They provoked him. They were judged. They were brought low. But nevertheless, he remembered them for his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. You see, brothers and sisters, we look at that statement that said, we have sinned with our fathers. Generation after generation after generation, we're as guilty as others have. And yet God, in His mercy, remembered His covenant, remembered His promise, remembered the blood of Jesus Christ. It wasn't because we were good. We were sinners. When we were yet without strength, Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, in due time, Christ died. There's the blood of the Lamb. Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, we have sinned with our Father. We're no different than generations before us. Of ourselves, we would be no different from any other human nature. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Who can utter His marvelous works? You see, we today, in the covenant of God's grace, we are the sinners. We are the ones who reach the place in our understanding that says, save us, O Lord our God. Why do I need saving? Because I'm a sinner. How is that salvation brought? In the blood of Christ our Passover, who is sacrificed for us. Jesus died upon Calvary's cross, and even as He hung there in the agony of that execution, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When we get to the place where we come to say, save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen. Draw me to You that I can give thanks to Your name and that I can triumph in Your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Blessed be the Lord. Lifted up be the Lord. He was lifted up when He created, and He looked upon all that He had created, and He said, it was good and very good. And then Eve and Adam yielded to Satan's temptation. And what did God do? God covered them with the skins of animals that were provided with a sacrifice of blood. God called Abraham. Abraham lied about his wife. Abraham got anxious and didn't seek God's counsel and wound up having a son by Hagar. He forgot God's wondrous works, and yet God still kept His covenant. David was a man whom God called and set up on a throne and said, I'm going to establish your house forever. There'll always be one upon your throne. And David committed adultery. David committed murder. David had a family that certainly would not have made him Father of the Year. And yet, God didn't break His covenant. And folks, all of us fall into that same barrel with the fish, don't we? Our lives have come so short. We have sinned with our Father. Why do I cry, save me, O Lord, our God? Because of the recognition that without His saving grace, without His mercy, I would have no hope. But He has remembered His covenant. He sent His Son in His own time. He has promised that of all that the Father had given Him, none would be lost. And that puts His people in the security of that covenant that He'll never forget. And when we look upon the certainty of that covenant, we can come to that place where the psalmist said, let all the people say, amen. That's the truth. Praise ye the Lord. Folks, I'll tell you, that phrase, save us and call us, gather us out of the land of the heathen, it's not just because the heathen were so much worse than they were. Because they were as guilty as the heathen were. But the fact of the matter is, they cried to a God who heard them and who did save them. And it's in that mercy that you and I stand tonight. When God brings us in the awareness of sin in our life, that we cry, oh, save us, O Lord our God. There is a salvation in Jesus Christ that has not failed, does not fail, and will not fail. Let all the people say, amen. Praise ye the Lord. Father in heaven, help us to rejoice in the salvation that You've given. Help us to call upon You when we realize our own sin, when we realize the problems that iniquity has brought in our lives and in our culture. Help us to call upon You because You remember us. Even in those moments when we have forgotten You, thank You, Lord, that Your covenant is true. Help us to live to Your praise and in the triumph of Your glory. We ask it for Christ's sake. And amen.